Our reading tonight is taken from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we're starting to read at the verse 24. Tonight I want to bring us to Calvary and to look at some of the things that happened at Calvary. Matthew chapter 27. And we're starting to read at the verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and sat up over his head, his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and the another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them stood there when they heard that, said, This man calls for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And the veil, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. You know, the most wonderful story anyone has ever heard is the story of Calvary and what Jesus came to do on the cross. You know, men and women, God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin. Adam's sinful nature was passed on to all the human race. Man's sin brought God's curse upon each and every creation. The Bible tells us in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But God has provided a remedy, so that we do not need to suffer everlasting punishment for our sins. That great verse, John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. He sent his Son into the world to provide a way of escape. On the cross of Calvary, he willingly suffered the penalty of sin of his people. He satisfied all of God's holy and just demands. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and died alone. Brothers and sisters, can I bring you to the cross tonight? Can I bring you to that cross at Calvary? And I want us to see four things when we come to the cross tonight. I want us to see there was death at the cross. I want us to see that there was darkness at the cross. I want us to see that there was a declaration at the cross. But praise God, there was deliverance at the cross for you and me. First of all, we want to see there was death at the cross. You know, if you had lived in the days of the Roman culture, the cross was the instrument of capital punishment. It was the lowest form of execution under the Roman law. It was the Romans who invented the crucifixion. It was a slow, agonizing, humiliating form of death. Put to death on the cross were the lowest criminals. The thieves were put on the cross. The murderers of that day were put on the cross. The scum of the earth were put on the cross. The victim would be stripped and scourged with an instrument made of thin stripes of rawhide and have pieces of bone and metal at the ends. The victim would be beaten into helplessness and then mocked. It wasn't a pretty sight to watch someone who was scourged. But my Bible tells me that our blessed Lord Jesus suffered this. They would then have the cruel nails driven through their hands and feet to hold them to the cross. Yes, the place of the cross was a place of humiliation. It was a place of shame. It was a place of scorn. It was a place of reproach. It was a horrible place. It was a place of rejection. It was a place of torture and a place of pain. It was a place of judgment, a place of death. Yes, there was death at the cross. You know, our blessed Lord Jesus was subjected to all this. The other day I read that verse, that his face was battered and bruised more than any man. Just think of that. His face was unrecognizable. The blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus, his face was unrecognizable. Oh, my friend, what an awful place this was. It was a place of death. It was a place when the person had died on the cross. They were taken down and they were just thrown on a heap, left for the animals to devour and the animals to do. It was a place of death. And our blessed Lord Jesus was at that place. But you know, secondly, tonight I want you to notice it was a place of darkness. Calvary, the name most used today, where the Lord was crucified, is the Latin word for skull. We also read in that chapter, this place was called Golgotha. That was the Hebrew name also meaning a skull. The hill was located just outside the city of Jerusalem. But we read in the scriptures, in Matthew 27:45, now from the sixth hour, there was a darkness unto the ninth hour. In other words, from noon until 3 o'clock, there was darkness that came on the cross. And in that hour of darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ took the sins of his people. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. But I want you to notice something. In Matthew 2:2, when the Lord Jesus was born, we read, "Where is he born, King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east." You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, an extraordinary light announced his birth. But notice, when he died on the cross, an extraordinary darkness would notify his death. During that 3 hours of darkness, we do not find that he said one word. We find in this time he was in agony, wrestling with the powers of darkness and taking on his Father's displeasure, not against him, but for man's sin. You know, on the ninth hour we read, he cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, Christ being forsaken by his Father was the most grievous of all his sufferings. On that cross in Calvary, the darkness covered that place so that people could not see the Lord Jesus Christ suffering for the sins of his people. Oh, my friend, tonight, the cross is a place of death. The cross is a place of darkness. But I want you to notice, thirdly, it was a place where there was a declaration at the cross. In John 19:28, we read, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost." What a cry that was from the cross. It is finished. It is finished. What was finished? All the types of prophecies of the Old Testament, which pointed to the suffering of the Messiah, were accomplished. The work of redemption and salvation for sinners is now completed. A full salvation, a full satisfaction is made to the justice of God, and a fatal blow to the power of Satan. His life, I want you to notice, was not forcibly taken from him, but he freely gave his life for his people. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Therefore, expressing the intention of this act, "I give up myself as a ransom for the many." And according, he gave up the spirit. The work of salvation is completed, my friend, tonight. There is no other way to heaven, only through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, John Bunyan in the Pilgrim's Progress says, "Bless cross, bless sepulchre, but blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me." The Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless, pure Lamb of God, suffered on that middle cross for you and me. He took our sins upon that cross. He died that we might be free. I took up a little book the other day, and it told the story of a young shepherd boy in Scotland. And the little shepherd boy this day was looking after his sheep. And he was a wise young man. He looked and he saw that there was a real storm coming. He couldn't wait to get his sheep back into the sheepfold to make sure that each one of his sheep were safe in that sheepfold. That night, he was lying in his bed and he heard the wind howling. And he could hear the rain battering against his window. And he couldn't wait to get out to see if his sheep were safe. He got out very early. Once the daybreak broke, he got up and out he went. And he looked down and he saw the sheep was fine. But this young boy, his father, was a train driver. And his father was driving the train from London. It was an overnight train. And as he looked across the field, he noticed that the bridge and the railway was washed away with the floods and the storm. And he knew his dad and that train were coming up that line. And he knew if someone didn't warn those people that the whole train, there had been a terrible accident. The little boy, after he saw the train or the sheep was fine, he made his way up the line. And he was running up the line, waving his hands as best as he could. And of course, the train was getting closer and closer. As he was waving his hands, he noticed his dad in the train. And he kept waving away. His dad put the brakes on the train. And of course, the people who were sleeping on this, as an overnight sleeper, they were falling out of beds and they were being injured. And eventually, he got the train stopped. And the people came up to the driver and he said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? There's people injured in this train." And the driver said, "Come with me." And he walked up the line. And there lay the mangled body of his little boy. And he said, "My son, give us life that you might live." That's my son there. And he gave us life that you might live. And you, my friend, in this meeting without Christ, God the Father says to you tonight, "I give my son to die on the cross for you, that you might live." And my friend, tonight, are you going to reject God's salvation again? You've listened to better preachers than me. You've heard other men. You've heard Mr. Nelson, maybe, when he was the minister here, pleading with you to come to the Saviour, but you're still in your sin. You know, there was a deliverance at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ took the sins of his people on that cross, and he died for his people. You know, Nicodemus came to the Saviour at night, and the Lord knew immediately what was wrong with Nicodemus. And he said, "Nicodemus." Now, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of Sanhedrin. He knew all that there was about the Jewish religion. But he knew there was something missing in his life. And the Lord said to him, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." But what did Nicodemus say? He said, "How can I be born again? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time?" But the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Nicodemus, I'm not talking about the physical birth. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. They that was born of the spirit is spirit, and they that's born of the flesh is flesh." In other words, you must be born again. And my friend, tonight, if you're looking to get to heaven, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Oh, at the cross, there's death. At the cross, there is darkness. But praise God, at the cross, there's a declaration. But praise God, there is deliverance at the cross. There's deliverance for you and me. The death of the sinless one who was God in the flesh was more sufficient to pay for the sins of his people. His righteousness more than outweighed the sins of people. He alone could have made the sacrifice. You know, my friend, the word savior and salvation occur many times in the scriptures. The Bible mean exactly the same thing in the same sense spiritually. We speak of a person need to be saved from drowning. We speak about someone who needs to be saved from a burning building. We talk about someone who needs to be saved from a sinking ship. In each case, that person needed to be saved from danger. The person needed to be saved from the danger that they were in. Someone saw their peril and went to rescue them. The rescuer was successful in his mission and saved the person from danger. You know, it is evident from God's word that sinners are in danger. The word of God tells us the wages of sin is death. Therefore, a sinner needs forgiveness. A sinner lost needs to be found. A sinner doomed needs deliverance. A sinner guilty needs pardon. A sinner spiritually dead needs life. A sinner blind needs illumination. And a sinner, a slave, needs liberation. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come to seek and to save they which are lost. You know, through Christ's death and resurrection, salvation has been provided to God's complete satisfaction. Thus, at the cross, there is deliverance for you and me. What must the sinner do to get salvation? They must repent. They must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior and wash in that precious blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty sins. We sung it tonight at the cross. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. You know, by the shedding of his blood, Christ's cross was transformed from the emblem of shame to the emblem of glory. You know, the Jews looked on the cross as a curse. We read about that in Deuteronomy. But you know, Paul glorified in the cross. He glorified in the cross of Christ. Oh, my friend, yes, there's death at the cross. Yes, there's darkness at the cross. Yes, there's a declaration at the cross. But praise God, there is deliverance for you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. But you know, tonight, many would try and place him on the cross. If we go into some of the churches, we see the figure of Christ in the cross, but he's not in the cross. Some people would tell us that he never rose again. He's still in the tomb. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. Where is the Lord Jesus tonight? He's on the throne. He's the risen, exalted Savior, ever making intercession for his people. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came to Calvary to die for sinful men and women. On that cross, he shed his blood that you and I might live. You know, in the days of the sailing ships, there were two men on that sailing ship, and they were up working on the riggings, and one of them was an atheist and the other one was a believer. And it was starting to get dark, and they were lifting up the sails and they were tying the sails together. And the other Christian fellow said to the atheist, isn't it wonderful looking to the cross and see all that God has made in the world? And the atheist said, I don't believe it. I don't believe in God. There is no God. There is no God whatsoever. All of a sudden, the ship took a little bump, and the atheist lost his balance and he fell into the sea. Of course, the man shouted, "Man overboard." And you can imagine in those days, those big sailing ships, it took so long for to get the ship stopped. And the captain said, "Right, we'll put a rowing boat down." But it was starting to get dark, and all they had was a little lantern. And they started to row and call out the man's name. And the ship, one of the men in charge of the rowing boat, he said, "I think we need to give up. It's many hours since we've been looking." He called the man's name once again. And then all of a sudden he heard a cry. They rowed over to where they heard, and they pulled the man into the rowing boat. They got him up into the main boat and took him down and put him into his hammock. But this time the Christian fella had come down, and he walked into his friend and he says, "I'm delighted to see you. I'm delighted to see you." He says, "We thought you were lost." He said, "Tell me, what happened when you hit the water?" And the atheist looked at him and he said, "I prayed." And the Christian sailor said, "You prayed? Sure you don't believe in God." He says, "Ha, but when you hit the water, I know you're lost. And you see the ship sailing away, then you realize you're in danger." And he said, "I cried out and I said, if there is a God, save me now. Save me and I'll be a Christian and I'll work for thee." And he said, within a couple of minutes, the rowing boat was lifting me up. And you know, that atheist turned out to be one of the greatest Christians working on the ships. A man realized that he was going to be lost. He realized that there was a God. He disowned, he said there was no God. But you know, when he realized that he was going to a Christless eternity, he then cried to God, and the Lord saved him. My friend tonight, do you know the Christ of the cross? Can you say tonight that he's your Savior? Do you know him as your own and personal Savior? I remember I told you this morning, as a young man, I thought I was saved. I went to Sunday school. I went to Bible class. I went to children's meetings. And I went to different things. And I thought I was on the way to heaven. But praise God for a faithful Sunday school teacher. And he showed me, he said, "Tommy, look and see what God says in his word. All your righteousness are like filthy rags." And he quoted that verse to me. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And away back in the 60s, I called upon the name of the Lord and he saved my soul. Oh, my friend, tonight, there was death at the cross. There was darkness at the cross. There was a declaration at the cross. But praise God, for all who know the Savior, there was deliverance at the cross. You can get that deliverance tonight. You can come and trust him who to know is life eternal.